You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was there in Israel, I want you guys to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. And we read in 17 because you guys, we did this together as we went through Acts 17. And boy, did it come to life for me when we were there in Athens, which is this whole picture of Paul being there in Athens. And I want to read this together, starting in verse 16. Listen to what it says in Acts 17, verse 16. It says, "Now while Paul waited for them, that is, he had sent for Timothy and Silas to come to him there in Athens, while he waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols." That is exactly what happened to me. My spirit was provoked within me. I'll give more details in a moment. I thought, you know, that was something we read about in the Bible, and that wouldn't be now. The same spirit is very much at work in Athens and Rome today as was working in Paul's day. It's only the names have been changed to protect the innocent, so to speak, to use a dragnet term. If you remember the old dragnet, you know. If you don't, then I'm sorry. You're too young. "Therefore," verse 17, "he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there." So Paul's doing street witnessing there in the marketplace, which we visited when we were there, and we saw the marketplace where Paul was sharing. That was Paul's heart. He's street witnessing. "Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, 'What does this babbler want to say?' And others said, 'He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus," that is Mars Hill, "saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you're bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or hear something new.'" So again, they were worshiping all these false gods and all these philosophies, and that's all they did. And Paul was stirred. It broke his heart. Look what it says. "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious.'" Amen. I just saw that. "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship," notice objects of your worship, not the one that we should be worshiping, "I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" And that's exactly what's going on today in Greece and in Rome. "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you." Guys, when this has a whole new meaning to me than before I left 3 weeks ago and came back. I had no idea. I was expecting all kinds of different things when I went there. And a lot of things hit me in different ways and influenced me in different ways. And I'm sure those of you that went, you could say the same thing. But I tell you, I had no idea that my heart would be stirred for the people of Greece and the people of Italy like it was when we were there, for the same reasons that it was struck that Paul felt. And I want to say this, again, as heartbroken and heartfelt as I can, because my heart, and again, especially if you're in here and you come from a Roman church background, my heart is not at all to attack the Roman church. My heart is not to attack you. My heart is not to intentionally offend anyone. But the same spirit that was going on in Paul's day is now going on in the Greek Orthodox church and in the Roman church. It just has different names. As I was so... These are things I know. I know about the icon worship, the relic worship, the worship of Mary and the saints. I know all that. I get that. I've known about it. But to be there in the heart of it, and see how religious they are and how they hold to this and the way they're worshiping things and idols and icons and all these things, it truly stirred me, especially when I heard the Pope say 3 weeks ago, maybe you heard him say that Jesus was not the only way to heaven. Did you hear him make that announcement? Guys, that's in direct contradiction to the Lord of the universe, Jesus Christ, our God and King and Savior, the mighty God who created all things. This is what Jesus said in John 14:6, "No one goes to the Father except by me." And the Pope directly contradicted that. Now, again, my heart is not just to attack. And again, if you come from a Catholic background, understand, this is coming from a broken heart. The last thing I want to do is just say things that are controversial I have enough I have to deal with without creating my own new problems. Know that I love you. If that's your background, my heart is for you. But you've been deceived. There is no way to heaven but Jesus Christ. Mary can't help you any. We love Mary. She's a sister in the Lord. But she can't help you. The saints can't help you. They're not hearing you when you're praying. They can't. And I watch them worship. You know, the word worship, it comes from the word, it's the root word worthy. And it means to kiss toward. And as we visited some of the churches, I saw people kissing icons, kissing real. They were literally using, that's the biblical definition of worship. They were worshiping things, fingers, bones, objects. Again, here's what I took away from Rome, and they're very sincere. And I believe the people that are here and around the world, they're very sincere. I'm not doubting their sincerity because, listen, being sincere doesn't mean you're right. You can be sincerely wrong. And the thing that I realized when I was there is so amazing. It's almost like anybody but Jesus, you're good to go. You want to worship Mary? Go. The saints, go for it. But let's leave Jesus out of this. He has no place in this. We didn't hardly hear Jesus' name in 2 weeks of touring all these churches. But we heard Mary and the saints a lot. We saw a lot of statues. And when we did see Jesus, he was real small. And Mary was real large. It's this kind of reverse. The only hope for mankind is Jesus Christ and his blood for you on the cross. That's the only hope. It's the only hope. And get this. This is what hit me, what Satan has done. Look what Satan has done. It was like a ton of bricks. I was like, oh my goodness. Okay, when Satan, again, before the church moved into that region of the world, it was all these gods. It was Zeus, Aphrodite, Thor. And it was like, as long as you don't worship the God of heaven, Satan's fine with that. Worship Zeus, worship Aphrodite, worship Thor. Just stay away from the God of heaven. So then the gospel came in, like with Paul and others, and all they did was remove all that Satan let them do, and they've done it. They switched from Thor and Zeus and all that to Mary and Saint this and Saint that. It's no different. Anybody but Jesus. Just stay away from Jesus. We'll all be happy. Everything will be fine, and people's souls will be condemned. I was heartbroken watching people on their knees, one at a time, going upstairs, praying on each step to somehow try to please God, to watch the efforts they had. It was like Paul, the same spirit. My heart was stirred. They're very religious, but my heart is broken for Europe. My heart is broken for the Roman church because they're blind to the only thing that can save them, the only one that can save them is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can do it. It's interesting. I want to read just a few verses for you. And then we got to zip. I wanted to, again, there's so much I wanted to cover. I'm trying to catch up 3 weeks in one night. So just keep your seatbelt on. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 6. Look at this. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Get this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is no other. There's no saint. There's no person. Nobody can get you to Jesus but Jesus. He's the only mediator. Okay, let's make sure. I know y'all know that. I'm preaching to the choir. But I believe that some are going to be hearing this who come from this background and that God may be speaking to them. Maybe you're here tonight, again, and listening by radio or going to be watching this online. Again, there's only one mediator. Nobody else can help you. They're not hearing you. Jesus will hear you. Jesus will help you. Listen to what it says again, John chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, what Mary said herself about Jesus. Listen, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, they have no wine. And Jesus said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. It wasn't time yet for him to start his miracles and what he was doing. But he said, his mother said to the servants, you know, she just left it to Jesus. She said, whatever he says, you do that. Even Mary recognized Jesus is the one to look to. He's the one to turn to. Revelation, again, when I think of the saints and bowing down to anybody other than Jesus. Listen to what it says in Revelation 19, 9 through 10. Then he, that is an angel, said to me, John, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. So even the angel said, don't bow down to me. Don't bow down to anybody but God. And Jesus is God, the Bible tells us. And the last thing, again, I'm going to have you turn to. We could have it on the screen, but don't even put it on the screen. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. We're going to finish with this, and then we're going to get into communion. But Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, looking at the transfiguration of Jesus, because this really sums up where my heart is tonight. It's all about Jesus. Everything is Jesus, and he only is the one that we're to be looking to, and the only hope for mankind, the Roman church or any other, is Jesus Christ. He's the only hope. Nobody else can help. Nobody. And the Lord makes that clear. Look what it says, starting in verse 1. It says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. He showed them who he really was in his glory for just a moment. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah, two other saints, if you want to look at it that way. We're all saints in Christ, the Bible says. But they appeared to them, talking with them. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles. That is three places of worship. Look what's happening here. This is the first time we see in Scripture among the disciples or anybody in the church where they're trying to worship somebody other than Jesus. Peter wasn't thinking. Peter's going off of emotion. He'd seen a great miracle. He goes, let's make three different places of worship. We'll include you, Jesus. We'll even mention you first. But look what he says. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. This is an attempt to worship and magnify saints. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Wow. I've been rebuked a lot. Getting rebuked from heaven out loud, that would be pretty tough. Here's what the Lord said. There's nobody else to look to. You don't build tabernacles for anybody else. You don't worship things. You don't look to Moses. You don't look to Elijah. You don't look to Mary. You don't look to saint this, saint that. You don't know. This is my son. Worship him. You bow to him. It's Jesus only. And that's where our hope is. And so tonight, guys, as we get ready for communion, regardless of what your background is and whatever your religious background, if you don't know the Lord, you have hope tonight of salvation. You have hope of having all your sins washed away and being clean and having an eternal place in heaven. But the only hope is Jesus only. There is no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved except the name Christ Jesus. Acts 4:12, John 14:6, Jesus said, no one goes to the Father except by me. I know we know this as the church, but there may be some that need to hear this tonight. And I have to believe there is because it's burning so hard in my heart. And so whether you come from that background and God's opening your eyes for the first time, or whether or not you just don't know the Lord and you want to give your life to the Lord tonight, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus died for you on the cross, that by his blood you can be forgiven, by his sacrifice you can be washed clean, then you can be saved. You know, notice this. Nobody else gave their body and blood for you except who? Jesus Christ. Mary didn't give her body and her blood. The saints didn't give their body and their blood. Moses and Elijah didn't give their body and their blood. Nobody else did. Jesus alone gave his body and his blood for the church, for his bride. And it's only his body and his blood that was pure enough to wash our sins away anyway. And so, again, if you haven't done that, I want to pray right now that you can give your life to the Lord, because we want to take a moment for those of you who don't know the Lord to give you an opportunity to give your life to the Lord. And then I want to have a moment for us to get our hearts clean, to celebrate Jesus and focus only on him. It's like, I didn't finish reading. I want to say this. Let me go on. You can't get me to shut up. Look at verse 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. Here it goes. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And that's exactly where God said their eyes needed to be, on Jesus only. So what we're going to do, we're going to get our eyes right now on Jesus only. going to pray for those who want to give their life to the Lord, and then we're going to get our hearts right for communion and just remember the only one that died for us and gave his body and gave his blood, and the only one the Bible says that can save us, and is our only hope, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I want to thank you for your son. I want to thank you, Lord, that it's Jesus only, and there is no one else we can look to. You yourself said it from heaven. You made it clear from your word, the word of God. It is you alone. And God, so many today, not just involved in the Roman church, God, where they've been just led astray by so many false teachers and false prophets, Lord, and they're trapped. God, have mercy. Open their eyes and set them free. But God, maybe some here tonight that have nothing to do with that at all. They just never have given their life to you. They've never made that commitment. And for the first time, their eyes are open and they know what? I need Jesus. And maybe God, you're showing them, you're transfiguring right now in their heart, saying, I'm your Lord. I'm your Savior. I love you. You're my bride. Come to me. Say yes. Say yes to your Lord as he makes his proposal. And if you want to do that, then what you do right now, you say this: Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. And I believe you alone died for me on that cross. I believe your blood alone and your body alone was given for me. I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I give my heart and my life to you. If you've done that, the Bible says your sins are washed away and you have your place eternally in heaven. And for those of us now, again in this room, as we get ready to take communion, let's get our hearts right with the Lord. Lord, if there's anything you want to convict us of right now, show us in our hearts. If anything we need to confess, anything we need to get right with you, we want to get it right tonight. Wash us clean, God, and let us not take your body and your blood for granted, but to realize, Lord, it was a great sacrifice, and you gave yourself for us, and we receive it by faith. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Mark Kirk. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Mark's teaching ministry by visiting calvaryknoxville.org.